The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week, two issues dominating the industry. Oil revenues are part of the discussion on Scotland and the UK's finances, and the findings of an inquiry into a North Sea helicopter crash are released. But first, two of Scotland's top golfers are helping an Aberdeen energy company as part of its fundraising efforts. EnQuest says it's supporting the Paul Laurie Foundation, which helps young people get into the sport, whilst Bernard Gallagher is to be guest of honour at the company's annual charity golf day in the summer. Proceeds from that will be split between his defibrillator charity Play Golf Help Save Lives and the charity Archway. UK Managing Director at EnQuest, David Heslop, says they're raising thousands of pounds for good causes.
We've had a two-year relationship with Archway. We asked our employees what did they want to do after that two-year relationship, and they said they would like to continue with Archway but support another charity. And we're very pleased to pick the Paul Laurie Foundation, which is very complementary to the charitable programmes that we'd like to get involved in.
An app that shows whether we're on the best energy tariff is being made available on smartphones. It contains quick response codes to help consumers switch companies and potentially save money. The UK government's launching a consultation, but wants all the energy companies taking part by the autumn. Talks between the European Union and Russia on its South Stream gas pipeline were this week put on hold. The line would bypass Ukraine, which is currently at the centre of a crisis with Russia over the Crimea region. Relations between the EU and Moscow have been strained as a result. The pipeline has so far not met EU law, which doesn't allow energy producers and distributors to own the pipelines they use. This week, oil revenues were at the centre of Scotland's economy, slipping deeper into the red than the UK's last year. Revenues slumped by almost £4 billion last year, putting Scotland £12 billion in deficit. It means we spent £12 billion more than we earned in tax last year. That's an 8.3% deficit, 1% higher than the UK's, and was mainly due to a 41% slump in oil revenues. Labour's Ian Gray told my colleague Colin Mackay that we'd be £500 worse off than the rest of the UK if we voted for independence.
These figures undermine the whole fiscal and economic case for independence. What they show is that if Scotland was independent today, then we would have £4.5 billion less money in the budget than we did last year. That's the whole school's budget. So whoever was the Chancellor of that independent Scotland, we'd have to slash public spending or massively increase taxes.
But what they say is over the last 5 years, it shows that Scotland would be £8 billion better off.
But the independence referendum in September isn't about looking back, it's about looking forwards. And oil revenues are in decline. It's harder to get the North Sea oil out, and so the profits are less, so the taxes are less. And what we see is the impact of that now. A 44% drop in oil revenues between last year and this year. And that means £4.5 billion less in the Scottish budget, and that would mean cuts in public spending or possibly huge increases in tax.
But First Minister Alex Salmond says over a longer period, Scotland has been economically stronger than the UK.
Well, we look over the 5 years, and of course the biggest number that come out of this is that every individual Scot would have been relatively £1,600 a head better off over the last 5 years if Scotland had been independent. Now, that means there'd been either more capital investment in the economy, less borrowing, which would have been a good thing for the future, but Scotland in a stronger fiscal position over the five-year period. Yeah, this year we've seen a drop in oil revenues, but actually it's for a very good reason. It's because there's been huge investment. Oil companies, as we all know, a bit like bookies in some senses, they don't invest money for out of purpose, and they're investing that money in order to get more revenues and therefore more tax revenues in the future. So yeah, the oil revenues are down, but nonetheless, over the 5 years, we're in a stronger fiscal position, and we can expect more revenues from the North Sea for a very, very long time to come. So, you know, over the piece, these are good figures for Scotland. They underlie the strength for the Scottish economy, as we found out yesterday, the 14th most prosperous country in the world.
The figures highlight falling oil revenues, but they also show that overall the UK's finances are far from great. £115 billion in the red, and just a week before the Chancellor's budget, there are no predictions of when Scotland or the UK will be back in the black.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.
BP says none of its currency traders had engaged in inappropriate trading activity after allegations one of them received information from a dealer at Lloyds. Lloyds Banking Group themselves have launched an investigation into claims one of its foreign exchange traders leaked price-sensitive information. It's understood they tipped off another trader last year about an upcoming order to swap £300 million for US dollars. They're thought to have been suspended while inquiries are made. Statoil's awarded DOF Subsea Norway a call-off on an existing survey frame agreement for next year. The 8-month period programme will include seabed mapping, pipeline inspection and light construction services. DOF Subsea's operating centre in Bergen will manage the work, with the offshore operations mainly in the Norwegian North Sea. A helicopter crash in the North Sea in which 16 men died could have been prevented. The findings of a fatal accident inquiry into the tragedy in April 2009 were published on Thursday. Sheriff Derek Pyle found reasonable precautions by operators Bond could have prevented the Super Puma from coming down nearly 5 years ago, listing various maintenance and inspection failings. It followed a six-week hearing at the townhouse. North Sound spoke to some of the families of those who were killed to get their thoughts on the findings. Caroline Doyle lost her father Raymond in the crash.
The fundamental rule of aviation is follow the book, and it's been admitted in the fatal accident inquiry that this wasn't the case. They did not follow the book. Surely that has to be a breach of health and safety. So why there was no prosecution on the grounds of this is beyond comprehension.
How much do you think that this helps your fight, that they might be all singing with one voice?
It helps us. The support from the other families helps us through it. If we didn't have each other, I think we would really be struggling. If we didn't have Tom and the support of the unions, I don't think we'd have ever came this far.
Even since 2009, there have been other incidents.
Yes.
What goes through your mind when you see those things happening? You think, have lessons really been learned?
I just think those, the poor men and women involved, the poor families, and I just hope and pray that they don't have to wait 5 years the way we have. I hope the system does better for them than it has done for us.
John Edwards' son, James, also died.
It wasn't what I expected. I expected more, to be honest with you. I did expect more, but there again, I didn't know what I should have expected. I don't know whether that sounds correct or not, but what I expected wasn't what we got today. I wanted more answers to the questions that were put in. I wanted to see if the findings were maybe would it give us a way to go from here, but it hasn't, you know, except if we go and see the when Tom Marshall and them, and they go and see the next person up, whoever that may be, maybe they can give us some answers. You know, maybe we can carry on from there fighting again. You know, a public inquiry is what we want. And if we get that, who knows what will come out. So,
do you feel any further forward from before the start of the FAI?
Do we feel any further forward? No, I can say not, because I mean, if we left it now, it's a shuddering halt. We're stopped, and that's it. So we haven't got what we wanted. Like I said, I expected more. So I'm still, if I was to stop now, I'm short. You know, I haven't got my answers, if you know what I mean.
Audrey Wood, whose son Stuart died in the crash, has been leading the families in their fight for answers.
Really quite confused about the findings. Thought we'd get some more answers, but it's just kind of been left up there.
In terms of answers, it's been a long 5 years. Are we any further forward, you think, from the start of the FAI?
Yes, we are a tiny bit further forward. We sat through the 6 weeks of the fatal accident inquiry, so there was a few of our questions answered there, but not them all at all, no.
What do you make of the fact that there hasn't been any prosecutions about this crash?
Initially, we just accepted it as when it came from the Crown, but when we started reading the AIB report, we alluded to there were actually more failings there, and then certainly when we heard the fatal accident inquiry, there was a catalogue of errors there, and which this we can't really come to grasp with at all, because now we've found out that some of the witnesses weren't even hadn't even given a statement. They weren't interviewed. So this decision was made without full witness statements being there.
Bond said they hope the FBI brings some degree of closure. Is that ever going to be possible?
No, not at all. Not sure exactly what the word closure means. If it means you're closing the door to everything that's happened, then certainly not. No, closure is not a word that we would use, and we will continue to get justice for our men.
Bond themselves say lessons have already been learned from the tragedy. Here's their managing director, Luke Farajala.
Well, our thoughts are all about the family. We hope that this determination helps them in some way to move forward, but of course we share their grief and sorrow at the loss of the lives of 16 people in 2009.
It seems to have indicated that mistakes were made at Bond. Is that a view you share?
Well, we know that there were mistakes made, and we've never sought to cover up the fact that mistakes were made. And we're trying very hard, of course, as a business to identify any mistakes in our processes. Of course, those mistakes are now put right, and this is a new business 5 years down the line with a new safety culture, new ethos, and an absolute determination to see this never happens again.
How much safer is the offshore industry compared with 5 years ago?
Well, I think we continually evolve, we continually progress. Every accident is analysed and scrutinised very carefully to ensure that we miss nothing. And typically we learn from every event that takes place, whether it's a fatal accident or anything else that may be something less significant and less serious. We learn from every opportunity that's possible to learn from.
The family say it will be difficult for them to get closure from this FBI. Do you understand why they feel Bond are at fault?
Well, I wouldn't deign to claim that I understand how the families feel. I can only imagine they are going through absolute trauma and that 5 years is far too long to wait for the outcome of a fatal accident inquiry. So I can only imagine and sympathise with the families, but I wouldn't dare consider. I know how they're feeling.
The Crown Office is ruling out criminal prosecutions over the crash, saying there's insufficient evidence. Stephen McGowan's from the Crown Office.
The evidence from the Eurocopter witnesses in France was evidence that we knew about beforehand. We had all of that information when we made the original decision to take no proceedings. What we had to do in the run-up to the fatal accident inquiry was to capture that evidence in a particular format to allow the management of witnesses to ensure the smooth running of the inquiry and so that we could disclose that to other parties. But it was all evidence that we had anyway. There was no other evidence which has come out during the course of the 6 weeks of the inquiry which would allow us to change our decision.
We know the families, they feel that the fatal accident inquiry hasn't given them the answers they need. Are there any other avenues that they can pursue in conjunction with the Crown Office?
We appreciate the decision not to prosecute is disappointing for the families of those who lost a loved one. That decision was only taken after we'd done a comprehensive investigation and further inquiries had been carried out. We've spoken to the families at the start of this process and kept them up to date during it, and we've also offered to meet them in the light of the determination by the sheriff coming out to discuss their views on matters and the determination and also our decision not to prosecute.
Union leaders believe they should reconsider. Here's Jake Molloy from the RMT Union.
It's time for an overhaul of the system. It's time to review the whole justice system and how we deal with death at work in Scotland.
Are we any further forward with the possibility of a full public inquiry as a result of these findings?
Well, I think the fact, lamentable fact, that the Crown Office reached the decision not to prosecute without having all of the evidence to hand is justification in itself. We acknowledge that the industry's moved on and that Bond itself is a different company, but the fact that there's been no due process, no one has been held accountable. And by that I don't mean jailing people, it's just been a due process where failures are identified and blame or accountability apportioned. If a worker offshore fails, as Bond put it this morning, makes an honest mistake, they lose their livelihood, sacked. No one was sacked, no one was held account here.
Tommy Campbell represents Unite.
Well, obviously they're pointing a finger at Bond. They've acknowledged that there was failures on Bond's part in terms of the maintenance of that particular helicopter. And as far as we are concerned, that now leads it to the fact that that accident happened because of their failures.
as a result of the sheriff's findings, can the Colonel be compelled to do any more at this point? Or the
well, as far as we're concerned now, we will campaign to make sure that that decision hopefully is overturned. There should be prosecutions here. The decision to make the finding that there would be no prosecutions come what may is an absolutely outrageous decision. It's a travesty of justice. That's the more the reason now why we want the politicians to fast-track the current bill going through the Scottish Parliament. We want all future inquiries to have teeth so there can be enforcement and, where appropriate, prosecutions as well.
Are we any further forward from when we were at the start of this FAI?
Well, we're a wee bit forward. The families have got a wee bit more information. They are having to deal with the fact that they have lost their loved ones. And it's for them that whether closure will come about now or sometime in the future, that will depend on themselves. But the facts are that as far as we're concerned, we have to fight on as well to make sure there's no more fatalities in the future. We have to remember that there was an accident last August where all the people lost their lives. So there is another accident inquiry about to take place. We want that sooner, not rather than later.
Sheriff Pyle says the crash was a tragedy and, coupled with other helicopter accidents in Scotland in the past few years, has raised fundamental questions about the safety of helicopters. He added it's particularly important that whatever lessons can be learned from it are properly identified and acted upon. It comes as the manufacturer of the helicopter, Airbus Helicopters, formerly known as Eurocopter, say they take note of the recommendations and will analyse them in depth. In a statement to North Sound, they add they are confident the actions implemented to date remove any risk of the incident recurring. And rounding off the week, one of Britain's big six energy firms, E.ON, saw earnings rise by a quarter last year. It made £296 million thanks to cold weather at the start of 2013, although the firm says its power stations were barely profitable. It put tariffs up by an average of 3.7% in January. Don't forget, for the latest news from the energy sector, tune into our special North Sound Energy Bulletins each weekday morning during Greg's at Breakfast and the Robin Galloway Breakfast Show. That's it for this week. This has been the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll. Become part of an award-winning team. Go to activepayroll.com/careers for your next move.